a lot of mindset work. I try to surround myself with the right people. I try to make sure that I read things that help my mind. I meditate. That helps quite a bit. Being quiet, being present.
Real estate is about freedom. Choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom. And the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Everybody, welcome to Real Grit. I'm Neil Timmons. Hey, I'm here with Melissa Johnson. She became an entrepreneur in 2003, flipping houses out of San Antonio. She expanded her business into a thriving real estate investment operation. They've closed nearly 1,000 flips under her belt at this point. She built a portfolio of rental properties, real estate notes, all while raising 5 children. It's amazing. It's going to be a fun story here today. In addition to real estate, you know, she's also part of multiple real estate tech startups. Her passion for business and helping others eventually led her into coaching, where she enjoys helping other entrepreneurs from all over the country. She's focused on problem solving, leading with value first, but she's family first. Her philosophy and understands true power from creating a business that works for you on your schedule. So I'm excited to have her here today. Melissa, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm honored to have you here. Thanks so much. We all have different backgrounds. Just tell me, what was your entry point? Where did you even start in this industry?
It was one of those things that kind of just fell out of the sky, I think. Yeah. It wasn't something I was looking for. I was working for a government contractor. We had a contract with the Air Force, so we were doing a lot of that kind of stuff. And my ex-husband, his dad was flipping houses, and we just saw this like amazing life he was having, you know, going around in his RV, and he's got all these rental properties, and it was just like, that looks like fun. Yeah. And so we thought we'd give it a shot and started doing that, did that part-time for a few years, and then ended up eventually dropping the W-2 and going full-time into real estate.
What year was that?
That was about, let's see, I think we went full-time. He went before I did because he actually got laid off. And I stayed for maybe another 6 to 8 months or so. Okay. So I think it was about 2006 or seven when we went full-time.
2006 or seven. Things were booming in that era. So walk me through kind of the 8, 9, 10, 11 era. How did you end up managing that?
Well, 2008 was fun, right?
Yeah, I
say that with a
tongue in cheek, right?
Yeah. Yes, very tongue in cheek. Yeah. But, you know, it was, you know, I always see these things as it's so easy looking back, right? Like, but in that moment, it was really tough. You know, it's like, what are we going to do? We've got properties, you know, because things were super hot right up into that point.
Right.
And so we had like all these houses and stuff. And suddenly it's like, oh, we can't get rid of any of these.
Right.
And so it became a pivot point in the business where we started selling houses with owner financing. Mm. And that's how we were able to unload a lot of stuff. And it turned out to be a real blessing because it allowed us to create this awesome portfolio of notes that have like been sustained over all these years. So it was a cool thing. So did that until the market improved and then went back to regular flipping and selling things retail. 2014, I got into wholesaling because that, you know, again, another shift in the market a little bit. And so we went more into wholesaling and just started cherry picking the rehabs, which was really nice. And just kind of worked those exit strategies over the years. And yeah.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. Need more leads? Who doesn't, right? Want access to the vacant home list, absentee owners, tax liens, pre-foreclosures that are all routinely updated? Well, you can get it all in one place, batchleads.io. Batchleads gives you nationwide property search, nationwide buyer search, comparable home sales, quick filters, and hundreds of prospect filters to allow you to slice and dice it any which way you wish. Batchleads is trusted by some of the nation's top real estate investors. And with plans starting as low as $30 a month, there's a lot of bang for the buck. Batchleads includes unlimited list stacking, so there's never a need to buy another program or figure it out in Excel. They even include discounted skip tracing with every single plan. It's the system my team and I personally use. Use coupon code IMPACT when checking out for 50% off your first month. batchleads.io, coupon code IMPACT for 50% off your first month.
It sounds like you run a business which you're always looking for good deals, and then you figure out the exit as you go.
Yeah, I have criteria. So one thing that I did pick up from all of that was learning how to place criteria on things. Yeah. And of course, that criteria is subject to change, but it seems like the criteria that I set has lasted throughout, you know, since the time we started it. So it's like, I know what my buckets are, and I know what I want for rentals. I know what I want to hold as a note. I know what my criteria is for a wholesale deal and what the criteria is for a flip. Yeah. And so as each lead comes in, we know where in the bucket it goes.
Are you still selling properties today with owner financing, creating notes?
I haven't created a note in a while. Yeah. Kind of backed away from that for a little bit, just because of all the, got a little crazy there for a little bit. I'm not opposed to it, but it's been a little more difficult to get the deals. And I could just be like really old fashioned and hoping, like, I would love to create the notes that I created.
Yeah, that we could all go back to years ago. Yeah.
I know. Painful. It's like, I'm even myself having to have a mindset shift. And I think that's like something you learn being in business for so long. You know, you get comfortable and you get complacent in how things are running. And then something happens to like shake everything up. And then you've got to reevaluate. And what was working before might not necessarily be working now. And so you've got to make those changes, you know, as you go along.
It reminds me of the book, Who Moved My Cheese? You're exactly right. We have to shift. Have you changed anything in your criteria or in your shift, if you will, over the last, let's say, 24 months? We've got a huge run up in the market. What we were paying 36 months ago or 24 months ago or even 12 months ago is not the same to what we have to pay up for today in order to get a property just to go and remodel or wholesale or whatever it may be. Has that changed any of your criteria at all?
I think the criteria is still, it's about the same. It's just the shift in mindset with the numbers is really what it is. Because like for my flips, one of my main criteria is I don't want to do a house with a foundation issue anymore.
Yeah.
You know, been there, done that, don't like it.
Yeah, right.
You know, so that, you know, the criteria aren't always numbers. Sometimes it seems like that, or it could be areas, but if an area improves, you know, that could change. If an area goes downhill, but it's mostly a mindset around the numbers changing. So like the properties themselves haven't changed, but the around the numbers has.
Yeah. All your inputs changed and same thing on the outs. Yeah. I totally understand. I mean, there are properties we pay almost twice as much for at the very low end, twice as much for.
It's heartbreaking.
Years ago, you're like, this is terrible.
Yeah, you see stuff. And especially like I've been only in San Antonio market. Yeah. And so I know like, okay, we bought a house here. We bought houses all over the place. And when you see a deal come through and it's like, man, I bought a house down that street for like $50,000, you know, and now suddenly it's like $150,000. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty wild. What has been, it's not all easy as we both know, what's been kind of the most challenging, looking back over the last, let's say, you know, your career, what's been the most challenging part about building your business to getting to the point of success that you have today?
You know, I think it was the decision to build a team. Hmm. That was really challenging because we operated for a very long time as just like a mom and pop kind of thing. Small family business, you know, just, you know, my husband and I were operating. We didn't have people, like we wore all the hats in the business for a very long time, probably too long. And so that was a huge challenge because when we decided to build the team, we had actually started another company as well, a software company. Sure. So we split our focus between those two companies. He took the software. I took the house flipping, but I was like, I can't manage all that on my own. I need to hire people, but I didn't know how to hire people. I didn't know how to, like, I never had a management role ever. So there was a big learning curve there.
What year was that?
That was in 2014.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you decided to hire. What was the first role you filled?
Acquisitions.
All right.
Which I find so funny now because apparently my profile is actually an acquisitions profile, but I feel like I'm horrible at sales.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So you fill acquisitions and then what was the next role after that? Do you recall?
See, we hired acquisitions and then I ended up moving that person out of acquisitions into more of like a marketing and management type role and hiring another acquisitions person to take that place. So now I had kind of a right-hand man and an acquisitions person. That was also other guy was doing like marketing and stuff for me too. So he was managing all of our direct mail campaigns, things like that.
Yeah.
And I was just overseeing things. And then from there, I basically just plugged one person into each role in the company. So I had one lead manager, one acquisitions person. And then the last person that I hired was somebody to handle dispositions and transaction coordinating. And I just combined that role.
Okay.
That
person. What does the team look like today?
Well, there is no team anymore, funny enough. I actually made the decision to retire from real estate investing heavily. Not running it as like my main business anymore. Sure.
Yep.
So I still am investing, but very low key. It's just like one-off things.
Sure.
It's more, now we're more focused on the coaching aspect of things.
Yeah. And isn't that the beautiful thing? Sometimes we all get into this thing and it's not really the thing. It's the thing that leads us to the thing.
Yes.
100%. And as a real estate entrepreneur, like you are, is you've got your eyes open and can tap into your passion after years of expertise. And so that eventually I assume led you into coaching to helping others.
Right. You're so right. Like, and I think that's an important thing for people to understand. It's not always real estate for a lot of people, including myself, is the vehicle to get to somewhere else.
Right.
And what I found was that while I loved flipping houses and I loved taking something ugly, making it beautiful, like I love that whole process, but I wasn't passionate about it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and the cool thing was that led me to be able to do other things, to pursue other businesses and other things that I was more excited about, I guess.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I'm literally in the middle of a transition over the last handful of years, really, into commercial. We still have a house business, but that is about as far more in line with my passion that gets me excited every day. All right, so talk to me about you end up in multiple endeavors. Just talk to me about the software or the tech side, and then also the coaching side, so I understand who you help there.
Yeah, so. The tech side, we started our own company and we were developing a CRM system. Mm-hmm. We had websites for real estate investors. We were providing managed services for the clients. So PPC, SEO, some Facebook marketing, things like that. So everything that I've done has been born from a need for something needed in our own business.
Sure.
Like we needed a way to manage all those leads and the notepad just wasn't cutting it anymore,
Right.
So let's build a CRM system. And my ex-husband was a software designer. So that made that a pretty natural, thing to do.
Yeah.
And then, as part of another tech company with a CRM system also after that. And that was really fun, kind of helping get that going off the ground and stuff like that. So it's always it's always like a need for something else, And then once all that happened, then it was like, I think it was during COVID, I started getting calls from people and they just wanted some advice and some help. And then I kind of realized I started a podcast and then I realized I love talking to people and I love helping people. Why don't I coach? But I don't want to be like a guru person. I have no desire to be that person. I just like helping people one-on-one. I don't have like a huge program that I coach. Like everything I coach is just specific to you, to your business, very personal and very like just a small business. But I love that.
Yeah. You've got a bespoke program. That way you can match it to exactly what they're tailored to what their needs are.
Right. And it's great because then I get to coach real estate clients and I get, they get the benefit of all the experience, from all the flipping and wholesaling and notes and all that kind of stuff. And then also the tech side of things, showing people like you can run this business with minimal people if you've got the right automations in place and you're willing to delegate.
That's exactly right. Can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
You've got 5 kids. How, I mean this respectfully, how in the world do you get anything done? How are you able to have to do all this?
I get that question a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like my thing that people know me for. She did all that and had 5 kids.
Yeah,
well, I will tell you this. I did not do it alone. You have to have help. Like it's not, it's not easy. Hired nannies, things like that, worked around kids' schedules. And so you just kind of make it work. I mean, it wasn't easy, but it wasn't as hard as you think it would be.
Yeah.
Well, and plus my kids are pretty good. So
that helps. Yeah. To me, it comes from putting, what I hear you saying is you were able to put priorities on what mattered most. And that doesn't necessarily mean work because you're a family first person.
Right.
It means your job and the business is there to serve you and your lifestyle.
Right. And that's where the delegation comes. That's why I'm so big on delegation, because the delegating is what allowed me to be a mom to 5 kids and be present.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't have done that without having a team at home and a team at the office, you know, because like a priority for me has always been, I'm going to take my kids to school every day and I'm going to pick them up every day.
Yeah.
You know, I want to go take them for ice cream on Fridays after school, you know, or I want to be able to go have lunch with them. I want to attend all their things. And so whatever I needed to do that, that always came first. So it's like, who can I hire or what can I delegate out that will allow me to be able to put my family first?
Yeah. We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors.
I've got a question for you. Are you enjoying the podcast? I sure hope you are. And if you are, may I ask you a personal favor? Would you mind going to iTunes and leaving a written review and a 5-star review? If you do that, send me a screenshot to my office. I want to send you back a list as a thank you. It's a list of the top 20 best lists to market to in order to find motivated sellers. This list has been curated by my office over years of direct marketing to sellers. This will either shortcut your path to finding the best list to start marketing to, or it's sure to add to what's already working. You can send that screenshot of your review to marketing@realgritpodcast.com. That's marketing@realgritpodcast.com. When you were hiring and scaling your real estate business, did you have a similar mindset as to what lane you needed to be in to be able to run this? What can other people do that allow you to do what you choose to do?
Like I said, I'm a big delegator. So yeah. I really, once I started hiring people, yeah. I knew that I can't be in the business so much because right. it was stressing me out. It would wear me out because I did do everything and I didn't let it all go at once. Like this is a gradual process. You know, I let this thing go. And then I was doing lead stuff. I was doing marketing. I let those things go. I let go. Finally, the last thing I think I let go was project management because I actually really enjoyed the project management part. Yeah. Bookkeeping was really tough to let go of too. That was one of the last things also, just because I'm so funny about
yeah.
tracking my, like, where's my money and make sure everything's like,
that's right.
Away. Yeah. And that was hard to give up that control. But sure. once I did, it was such a relief.
No, that's amazing. Well, let's do this. I want to move into the final segment, what I call four for impact.
Four for impact.
Your favorite quote, "We rise by lifting others." Robert Ingersoll said it. What about that connects and resonates so much with you?
I just feel like whatever we give out, we get back. And yeah. I love just playing even just a tiny part in helping somebody. And I love seeing their success. I love seeing people that I've helped win.
Yeah. It's pretty fulfilling for you, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think it is that holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
Personal next level?
Yeah. Yeah. Their individual next level.
I think it's fear. You know, a lot of times, like, you know, I read this quote and I'll probably butcher it, so I'm not even going to try, but a lot of people have a fear, like people are motivated by a fear of failure or a fear of success.
Yes.
And I never thought about that, the fear of success part of it. And so it's like pushing through to that next level can be really scary because it's so unknown. You know, sure. you're comfortable in this one place and there's no fear there. And then when you're pushing forward to the next level, there's always a lot of discomfort there. And so that can create a lot of fear and anxiety when you're trying to move forward.
How did you ever experience that personally? Fear of success or failure? How did you tackle that? How'd you break through it?
Boy, you know, I think it was just a lot of mindset work.
Yeah.
You know, I try to surround myself with the right people. I try to make sure that I read things that help my mind. I meditate. That helps quite a bit, just being still and being quiet, being present. Those things have really helped. And just hiring a coach helped me immensely because I was terrified, like leaving real estate, all I knew for the last 20 something years right. to launch a coaching business. And it's like hard to walk away from all of that to try something completely different. But hiring a coach and having a mentor there really helped kind of get through that point. So I think just having the right people is really key.
Yeah. Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
My kids. Yeah.
How old, top to bottom, oldest to youngest?
Okay. Oldest is, so I have 4 girls and a boy.
Okay.
Boy is the youngest. So my oldest daughter's 30.
Okay.
And then I have twins that are 23. I have another daughter that is about to turn 14.
Yeah.
Next week. And then my son is 10.
Okay.
So it's a pretty wide range there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's fun because you're in all sorts of different things then as a result of that age range.
Oh yeah, I've been through it all.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Who needs advice there? Let me know.
Yeah, you totally, you got it down. Right. What's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
You know, I host a real estate women's group, and that's really fulfilling. I enjoy that. I love the podcasting. I feel like that's a big benefit to people too. And it's something that I enjoy.
Yeah. No, that's terrific. If people want to connect with you, they want to learn more about you, they want to learn more about coaching, where can they find you? How can they do it?
Sure. Pretty easy. If you just go to themelissajohnson.com, everything about me is there. All the podcasts I've been on, all my podcast is there. The coaching information is there. And then all the links to my social also.
Wonderful. We'll make sure we get the link in the show notes below. Melissa, I really appreciate you taking the time to connect up here. It's a fun story especially from somebody with the breadth of experience in which you possess, and bringing it all the way full circle to now where you're giving, you're helping empower other folks to do and come through a journey like you've had with so much success you've had. So it's really wonderful. I appreciate the time.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Hey, for everybody here, Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, reminding you that real estate requires real grit. See you next time.
If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.